On the phone line is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Mike, first, thanks for coming to the Farm Progress Show and doing so much work in the University of Illinois tent. We did appreciate that.
Todd, you did all the work. We just drank your Gatorade. What a great show you put on Tuesday and Wednesday, and it's another great year you did, and a lot of nice, happy people, and a lot of good compliments floating around that U of I tent for the university and the programming you and Dave do. Well done. Well done again.
Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to having you out. For those who didn't travel in from Iowa, and we did some surveys as we were talking with the folks, most of them, of course, from Illinois and Indiana at the Farm Progress Show Indicator this past week. But you and I and Jackie Vakes, Elaine Cubb, and Sue Martin will be on Iowa at the Andersons facility in Everly and Estherville on Wednesday and Thursday next week, Wednesday evening, Thursday during the day for their customer appreciation events. And I'm kind of looking forward to making that trip. That's a long haul out there to Northwest Iowa. I think about 8-hour drive or something along those lines.
Well, big thank you to our gracious host for that, for the invitation, because I am really excited to get up towards Omaha, and that's how I'll be coming up, is through Omaha and then snake my way across towards Spencer. And it'll be an interesting trip because it'll be a great road trip from a standpoint of trying to get a beat on exactly what maturity that crop is at this state and what this past week's weather did to it, because we found out from the drought monitor that we're in about 60% of the state of Iowa is now in drought, and I believe that the whole Corn Belt as a whole jumped from something like 25% up to 45% just in 1 week, and that Iowa area and Missouri area seem to be the ones that are in the most severe deficit for moisture also. So it's not just the heat that they've seen, but it's also the moisture deficits, too. And I sure could see it west of Winchester, west of Pittsfield, as I got closer and closer to Hall and Hannibal and got into Missouri and headed all the way over here to St. Joseph, Atchison area. It was really, really tough-looking corn, and it was really, really short beans. Beans were still green. They were grayish-looking at the middle of the day when I was driving over. Had not seen a lot of burned-up crops yet, but I would guess if they don't get a good drink here in the next 4 or 5 days, that crop will also deteriorate pretty substantially like the corn did this past week.
The weather forecast suggests that they might get a drink. I don't know about a good drink.
It's interesting you bring that up, because I think the trade was pretty wise in how they closed this long weekend trade out, Todd, because when I looked at Champaign, Urbana, all the way over to Springfield, all the way up to Mankato, Minnesota, all the way over to Des Moines, Iowa, both the European Ensemble model is talking about a half an inch of rain. The GFS is talking about 0.6 of an inch of rain. And those are the Ensemble models, which, you know, puts you pretty close to usually being pretty close to accurate. But guess what? All of that comes, or the great portion of that comes, in the next 72 hours. And so if you aren't seeing a lot of rainfall by Monday afternoon or by latest Tuesday morning, at least based upon the latest models, that may be all you're going to be looking forward to all the way out to day 8, day 9 of the model run. So I think the trade probably thought, well, let's go ahead, keep some premium in the market, because all this rain's going to come in the front end, so we'll be able to know Monday night how good or bad this crop's going to be helped by the rain that does or does not come.
So for the third week in a row, corn has finished higher, and soybeans up for the fourth week in a row. It's been a really pretty steady march up for the soybeans in particular.
Yeah, it has. And corn stayed with the beans this week, even though we had a pretty tough week at the middle part of the week trade. We were still up 2.5% on the Dease corn for the week, and beans up 2.2%. The one thing that did play against the corn today that I didn't really appreciate seeing, especially since we were in delivery, was the fact that we did see a weaker basis, and we saw some widening basis at the Gulf, and there's talk that we're going to be getting some new crop supplies coming out of the south that's going to furnish the export market. August corn was down about 55 cents for the week for Gulf corn. But I also had a client call me in southeast Indiana last night and tell me that he had been asked by an ethanol plant down near the Cincinnati area to go haul corn, take his truck down to Mississippi and haul newly harvested corn from Mississippi up to the Cincinnati area. So corn is moving north here, and I think that just shows you how tight the crop is right now.
And I guess it tells you that there will be opportunities in many ways to potentially take advantage of the what we called earlier in the spring kind of the gap time. The heat may have started to fill some of that in as it dries out some corn early, I suspect. But producers will need to be watching, and I think the Andersons told us this yesterday. It should have been on the air. That they thought maybe we could be running overs really a long time, all the way through September, maybe into October. And so there would be some cash basis plays. Have you been talking to producers about those?
Yeah, I had heard that at the farm show, and it makes sense because it seems like in Decatur, where we were, it's the hotbed of the basis fluctuation. One minute you've got Decatur bidding up, you know, $1.60 over and upwards of $2. Rumor mill talk, and then all of a sudden the river bid jumps to try and take away from central Illinois. And you know, there's clearly that fight. And yeah, I heard the same thing at the farm show, that instead of just the first 15 days of September, we probably have a situation brewing where it could go all the way into the end of September for some really big basis pushes. One thing that producers were telling me, like in McLean County, one guy stopped and he said, "You tell Todd and you talk about on the air how bad it is up by Route 9 and Route 47. And he said, "It's bad. And you tell Todd how bad it is up there. I may not get any better yields than last year at this time." And I said, "I promise Friday afternoon Todd and I will discuss that." But on that note, I think there's some folks that may be getting in the fields earlier because of this flash drought, too.
All right. Well, I'll ride my big red motorcycle up there and we'll tweet about it. How about that?
I told him to have some homemade ice cream ready for you, Todd.
Well, send me an address.
All right.
Okay, so the next question here is, we're up, what, about $2 off the lows on November beans, is
yeah.
that right? So the question really is, how much more is there left in the beans? Maybe a lot more, in your opinion, I guess. I'm not sure about that. And then how much more is left in the corn to the upside at this time?
Well, I think to take the beans on first, you don't know the supply as well in the beans. And so, yeah, there is a lot more volatility and uncertainty and therefore a lot more upside potential. I think one of the things that I wanted to point out to a lot of people this past week and certainly pointing out to clients is, let's play it from the demand side. Let's play it from a side of, where do we choke off demand? And this is probably something that we could do a whole other show on, but briefly, in 2008, we shot the markets higher and consumption got choked off. In 2012, with the drought, we did the exact same thing. Now we've taken the corn price down sharply and kept the bean price up sharply on this weather, and demand for a lesser degree. But I think that's the key here, Todd, is that as you get upwards of $15 in November beans, you're getting upwards of $600 a ton at the Gulf. That's where we choked off demand in beans earlier this year. I suspect that's going to start to cause some real issues with China and really get the South American crop flowing again into China at that price level. Now, having said that, back on the corn, if we do have a discount in the corn because the trade's been buying beans and selling corn and they haven't been real respectful, the trade in the futures market haven't been real respectful of the demand brewing because we've dropped the prices so sharply. One thing I heard on the farm at the Farm Progress Show and on a lot of the panels that we were on together, whether I was there or anywhere, it was that the corn demand's not that good. I think we got to be really careful about saying that, because the lower the trade keeps the price, I think the opposite of 08 and 12 will happen. We'll really start to jump in and promote higher and stronger consumption of corn. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, is corn's got a long way to go to choke off consumption, just because the mindset is the demand's real poor already.
Hey, thanks so much.
Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas.